1053 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is community comment here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. And we are just about to jump into the action here. But first, wanted to remind you that community comment is presented by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Visit their website at proflr.com. They're locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. And talking about what's going on at Professional Floor Covering, their Pro Edge sharpening is still underway. It's been a long summer for mowing the lawns and whatnot, so get those lawnmowers in now. Make sure they are good for the rest of the year and even next year. They are a full-service blade sharpening shop. Sharpen blades of all kinds. If it has an edge, Professional Floor Covering will sharpen it, and they will take care of saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, ag blades, and almost anything with an edge. Just call 920-887-8341. And now, without further ado, we will jump into the action here on Community Comment. Here's Terry Bell.
Absolutely. This has been a topic of a lot of interest in the community. And if you would like to join the conversation, if you have a question or a comment or even a suggestion about the future fire station, give us a call at 920-887-9595. You can call or text us at that number, or call us here at the studio at 885-4446. Now, what everybody agrees upon is that Beaver Dam needs a new fire station, whether they agree on not much else. The fact of the matter is that this fire station is close to 65 years old and is starting to show its age.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I would add too, it's not just the age of the building. There's several conditions of the building that are far from what we're looking for. So maintenance wise, it needs some work. There are a lot of issues in terms of code compliance that we don't meet. I'm happy to talk about any of that. But the discussion about a fire station in Beaver Dam and the current fire station has been going on for more than 30 years. I have documentation. I have plans drawn up for a new fire station from the mid-90s that were never acted on. There was talk since then. There have been several studies that the city has commissioned, not specifically on our building. There was a space needs analysis done in 2008, which gave a list of priorities, one being assess the possibility of building another fire station on the north side of the city of Beaver Dam. And then as you look at our 2020 operational study, which was done prior to the referendum that year, an operational study has more to do with personnel and how the fire department operates, not with the building or the location of the building or equipment. But that was another suggestion that was made in that study, was to look at a second site. And so there's been a discussion about the need for it for a long time, and that's kind of how this whole process started. So in September of last year, I presented to council during a budget review the idea of hiring a third-party consultant to come in to do an assessment, a physical assessment on the building, and to do a space needs analysis, which basically tells us this is how much space you actually need. Neither of those things have ever been done on the building before, and so I thought this would be a great opportunity to first get a view of where we really sit, because without knowing where we are, we really don't know where we're going to go. So we had to have that information, and then the space needs analysis portion of it. This is where we're at, and the space needs analysis tells us, hey, this is what you guys really need, and will serve you best over the next 20 years.
Very good. So going back as far as 1995, what has been clear this whole time that the fire department needs that it doesn't have?
So there's a lot to that. I guess before I go any further, if people are interested, I know I sent Terry the link here today, and hopefully he can share that. But if anybody is interested, you can visit www.ci.beaverdam.wi.gov and click on the fire department link, and there is another link that'll take you to the space needs analysis and the existing conditions report. So if you're interested in reading that, it's 100 and some pages long, super interesting stuff, but it gives you a good idea of where we sit today.
Well, yeah, and it gets into the kind of detail that we really can't get to on the radio, yeah. So that certainly helps. But in general, I mean, space seems to be an issue. Code, being up to code makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And firefighting it's changed, and Beaver Dam has changed over the years.
Yeah, so our current facility was designed in the late 50s, constructed in 1959, and then we actually moved in 1960. And so a lot has changed since then. To give you an idea of just what has changed at the fire department, when we moved into the fire station, we had five full-time employees. Today we have 27. So a little disconnect there from what it was designed to do to where we're at today. And then the other big thing operationally that's different is when we moved in, we were a fire department. We responded in some capacity, in a first aid capacity. We didn't have an ambulance service at the time. But we would respond, we would provide care, and then a local funeral home would come with a hearse, and we would load the patient in the hearse, and they would be transported to the hospital. And so right around, I believe, 1963 or 64, we got our first ambulance, and that's really when we took over the emergency medical services portion of it. This fire station was not designed with that in mind. So everything on the EMS side of things has just simply been added on and kind of stuck in a corner where we need. A good example of that is all of our EMS supplies are stored off the apparatus bay in a non-climate controlled room that has a leaky roof, that has leaky pipes, that has, again, exhaust fumes going in there. And so that's not where you want your perishable and your sterile medical supplies to be stored. So we have to do our best with what we have. The other thing about the current fire station that I think is really evident when you walk through it is how cramped it is. When the facility was built, it was built as a fire station, a police station, and city hall. Now, over time, PD has obviously moved out. We've absorbed some of that space, but we still have roughly around 26,000 square feet. The study came back and said that we should have 40,000 square feet. And as you walk through our apparatus bays and you have to walk in and around vehicles to get to the next vehicle, or you have to make sure that all of our lockers are closed before you back a vehicle in. When you open doors on our ambulances and they hit the ambulance next to them, it's cramped. And it's not a really good place to operate a department out of. I mean, again, if you really want to go into the weeds, you can look at the study, but lots of other issues in terms of our current facility. A couple other big ones that I'll highlight. Again, when the station was built in 1960, you really didn't hear about female firefighters. Today, I'm extremely happy to tell you that we have 14 to 15% of our employees are female firefighters. That's almost twice the national average. So that's something that I'm really proud of, and it's kind of a pride point based on the fact that we have a great group of people who will welcome anyone that wants to do the job. And they're very considerate of each other, and they care about serving the community. And so, you know, there's no stereotypes. We don't care who comes through the door. We're looking for good people, and I think that we do a good job of recruiting them.
But the station wasn't built with them in mind.
Correct. And so over time, it went from it's kind of interesting when we talk about it. Over time, it went from just building a single restroom for males in the facility to building separate facilities. And now we're back to the point where when you talk to architects, they recommend private restrooms so either gender can use it without any complications. We don't have any of that. We have not enough restrooms, not enough sleeping quarters. And then on top of it, we don't have anything that offers privacy. And so that makes it difficult. We do the best we can with, you know, the space that we're given. but it's something that's been an issue for quite a while now that needs to be addressed. So that's one area that you know we really like to talk about. The other one is decontamination. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering this. Decontamination space.
There we go.
So when we come back from a call, and whether it's a fire call and we're covered in products of combustion, or if you come back from a medical call and let's say you get some blood or in other instances other bodily fluids on you, we don't have a proper space to decontaminate. What we would like our people to do is to have a space to take off all of their dirty gear, immediately get it into the wash or into however we're going to clean it, and then into a shower. We can't do that. Right now our people get off the apparatus, they take off their dirty gear or their soiled clothes, and then they have to walk all the way through the living space to find a shower. The idea is to keep all of that that nasty stuff in a certain area so we can contain it and clean it, and not bring that through everywhere else in the firehouse. Big reason for that is that study after study has shown that firefighters are at an increased rate to contract cancer over the course of their career, 14% more than the general public. So that's a really big item. Again, it's not something we can do, and we do our best with the space that we have, but just the physical layout of the building does not allow us to properly do that.
Very good. We're talking with Beaver Dam Fire Chief Mike Wesley about the future of the Beaver Dam Fire Station, the conversation that's happening now about where it should be and how many there should be. We're going to take a break right now, but be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our orthopedic and sports medicine team is committed to personalized care that meets your individual needs. From arthritis to complex sports injuries, we treat a wide range of conditions with the latest in both surgical and non-surgical options. We're here to help you move better and feel stronger. Now seeing patients in Beaver Dam, Columbus, and Sun Prairie. Learn more at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
Keep your family comfortable and worry-free with Surefire, rated Dodge County's best in heating and air conditioning. This is Tom Schwartz, your favorite home comfort specialist. Whether it's icy winters or hot summers, Surefire has you covered with expert installations, repairs, and 24/7 emergency service. With Surefire, you're guaranteed top-rated technicians, reliable service, and a cozy home all year round. Need financing? We offer flexible options to make it easy. Visit us today at SurefireInc.com to schedule your annual maintenance, our free in-home estimate.
It's true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs deserve more attention, I agree, and I'd like to help. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Andrew Meehan. Together, we can give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by our office at 301 South Roosevelt Drive, Suite B, here in Beaver Dam. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Coming up this week on the Dam Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards and Waupun. It's finally game week for the Green and Gold. We look ahead to their first week matchup with Detroit. The crew inches closer to their division title, and we look forward to Beaver Dam's Week 3 matchup and home opener. Corey Sparks and Wally Lukashensky. We are the Dam Sports Show, brought to you by Real Sports Cards and Waupun. Catch us each weekday from 4 until 5 on the ESPN Wisconsin app, Daily Dodge TV, and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back with more Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. If you would like to join the conversation, a lot of people very interested in the future of the Beaver Dam Fire Department. You can call in with a question or a comment. You can text, too, at 920-887-9595 or 885-4446. Chief Mike Wesley is with us. And so we've got to this point, and we've pointed out a lot of things that are, the fire department needs, and it's, as he mentioned, been discussed for a long time. We got to the point then in September where things actually started happening. What's changed lately to get finally the ball rolling on this?
Yeah, so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. After the presentation of the assessment of our current facility, I think, and I don't want to put words in our alders' mouths, but I think it was fairly unanimous, if not unanimous. Sorry, I'm just stumbling over all my words today. Everybody agrees that something needs to be done. The question then becomes, what needs to be done, and how do we move forward? So part of the study on our current facility was looking at if it could be remodeled to meet all the current standards and our needs. After looking through everything, there's too much structurally that would need to change. We're talking about ceiling heights, so we'd have to rip off a second story and build up, and the basement would be the same issue, and we'd have to tear out all of the stairwells and rebuild because of code compliance. And basically, we'd be tearing it down and building a new building. Five Bugles, who is our third-party contractor, recommended that we raise the building and build something new, whether it be in that location or a different location, or, as you're aware, multiple locations. They couldn't provide us with that at that point because that was not part of what we were looking at. The idea here, at least from my perspective, was to, again, know what we have, make a decision on whether or not it was feasible to continue with the same building. I think that everybody agrees it's not. And then begin looking at a path forward. So the next step was the needs analysis that really tells us this is how large of a facility you need, and whether, the X number of square feet that we need for a single new facility, or this is how many square feet we would need for multiple facilities. And so that all took place. But then we come to the big question, where is that going to be? And that's the point that we're at now. We're looking at sites. We're doing a GIS study with Five Bugles. I know that you were at the meeting here a week ago where we began discussing that, and we discussed multiple sites, options on one station and two station, had a very good discussion, and we're really at the point where council is looking for numbers. So they're looking for what it would cost to build one fire station versus two. As fire chief, I can tell you that there's a lot of benefits to building two fire stations. There's also some things that we're going to have to work through. But that's a big step to take without knowing what it's actually going to cost. And so that's kind of where we're at. We're trying to identify some sites, do some conceptual design with Five Bugles so they can generate some cost estimates for what it would cost to build one large fire station or two smaller fire stations.
So they made their recommendations public a week ago. You've had a week to chew on what they've recommended. I guess, how do you feel about the alternatives that they're putting forward?
So when we go through the GIS, I guess the first thing I'll say is when we go through the GIS, they ask, hey, are you guys aware of any available sites? What are your thoughts? And we provide them with a handful of sites that have been discussed or that are city-owned or that we know are available. What else they do is they go through and they determine with the data that they have what are the best sites, irregardless of what's on that site. So that was an interesting our process to go through. As we went through it, some of the sites that they selected, you know, that would give very good response numbers just aren't practical. I don't think that, in my opinion, it would be a good idea to bulldoze half of our downtown to build a fire station, even though geographically it was identified as a good site. So interesting process to go through. They came back, and some of the information that they came back with, you know, it made a lot of sense, and we, not saying that we already knew it, but we suspected that those might be good sites. And then there were a couple that, came back that, maybe surprised us a little bit. And so the real process, I don't think right now, is deciding exactly what the sites are, but it's deciding whether we're going to go with one or two fire stations. That being said, a lot of the discussion that happened the other day at the council meeting, a lot of the sites that were, discussed, are sites that have been discussed in the past. And so what we're doing now is we're taking all those sites that were, suggested at the council meeting, we're, folding those into the GIS, we're running those numbers so we can come back with, some better information, and hopefully give council the, data that they need to make an informed decision.
And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But first, we have to take some time out for the news. We will be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Hello, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. I invite you to stop in and discover the Power Lift Chair Recliners. We have the largest selection in Dodge County, ready and available for prompt delivery. With the touch of a button, these chairs lift you to a standing position or recline you to a comfortable nap. You can even get a lift chair with heat and massage in it or an adjustable headrest and lumbar support. Some models even have cup holders and wireless phone chargers. There are a variety of sizes in stock, from small to the big man's. Prices start at only $799. Don't worry about the power going out, because the lift chairs come with a battery backup. Delivery is free. If your loved one needs a lift chair in their room at an assisted living facility, McKinstry's will deliver it. McKinstry's is a lift chair service center. McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam. Use the entrance in the tower parking lot, which is handicap accessible.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings, year after year. McKinstry's.
Every athlete needs their rest on a Slumberland furniture mattress. Get plenty of sports updates here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, playing from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge has just ruled President Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles to assist ICE teams was unlawful because there's a law in the books that prohibits military enforcement of domestic laws. That decision comes as Trump discusses further deployments to Democratic-led cities like Chicago, New York, and Baltimore. World leaders meeting in Beijing, trying to demonstrate to the world they are holding formidable military and economic talks as they cement power.
China, India, Russia, all countries that have faced either sanctions or tariffs, or, in the words of Xi Jinping, bullying from the West, all standing together and suggesting a different vision for how the world should be organized.
ABC's Ian Panel, members of Congress back in Washington, two things they will be talking about, the Epstein files and trying to avoid a government shutdown at the end of the month. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. The Beaver Dam Community Library's temporary location opens today. Library staff have spent the last month or so getting set up at the former Bassett Furniture Building. Meanwhile, crews are upgrading the permanent library building further south on Spring Street. That work should be finished in 6 to 9 months. Congressman Scott Fitzgerald says he's opposed to the idea of sending federal agents to Milwaukee to fight crime. He tells Channel 12 in Milwaukee that crime rates in Wisconsin's largest city are going in the right direction. Vice President J.D. Vance suggested sending federal agents and troops to Milwaukee during a speech in Wisconsin last week. Noble Community Clinics and Lakeshore Community Healthcare are merging. The new combined company will be called Noble Community Clinics starting early next year. The only thing standing in the way is approval from Washington. The clinics get federal funding to provide health services in underserved areas. Big retailers like Walmart and Target would have to put the cost of tariffs on customers' sales slips in Wisconsin under a new bill. Sun Prairie State Representative Andrew Heisel is one of the co-authors. The Trump administration has enacted a number of tariffs on other nations this year to try to boost American manufacturing. Americans are paying more due to tariffs since 1933. It's the first day of school for most districts in Wisconsin. Nominations are being accepted for the Herb Cole Teacher Fellowship and Principal Leadership Awards. They honor outstanding pre-K through 12 educators and school leaders in Wisconsin. Nominations can be submitted online at coleeducation.org. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 77. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for storms tonight, lows dip down to about 57. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy tomorrow, storms likely, highs level off around 69. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, it's 67 degrees.
I'm very familiar with Gruber Law Offices because they're always out in the community.
Gruber Law Offices are known to be honest, hardworking.
They're always involved in our neighborhoods.
Gruber Law Offices make our community a better place.
They are the best.
For nearly 40 years, Gruber Law Offices has helped people throughout Wisconsin. If you're injured, we're here to help. One call, that's all.
Wisconsin would not be the same without Gruber Law Offices.
Slumberland, Beaver Dam, and Watertown. Our Labor Day sale is going on right now. We've got Sealy Posturepedic mattresses starting as little as $299. Our Safa Park queen-size Sealy Posturepedic mattress is as little as $499. Or grab the pillow top version at $599. Save up to $800 on purple mattresses and power bases. Save up to $800 on select adjustable mattresses with Tempur-Pedic, Sealy Posturepedic, and Stearns & Foster's. Check out our amazing no interest for up to 72 months. Apply in just moments. Our Labor Day sale is going strong. Shop local and save big.
You've seen him on the bag. Now follow him online. It's Lofi, Country Heart's mascot. And not only is he a cute little slice, he adds a bit of fun to Fridays. Follow Lofi on Facebook for free bread Fridays. Each week his posts may include a kid-friendly coloring page, a fun bit of trivia, or one of his famous dad jokes. Jokes may be stale, but his bread is always fresh. Just like his post each week for a chance to win a coupon for a free Country Heart product. Join the party with Country Heart and Lofi on Facebook.com/Country Heart Breads. Because when the bread is free, the fun rises.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And welcome back to Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. It is Community Comment, and we are presented in part by, or brought to you in part by, I should say, McKintry's Home Furnishings. McKintry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam is on Front Street under the red awning, and they are celebrating their 167-year anniversary. McKintry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They have even framed a guitar in the past. Yes, that is correct. Best of all, you will be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKintry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKintry's Home Furnishings. You will be very happy you did. And now, without further ado, here is Terry Bell for more Community Comments on 95.3 WBEV.
Thank you, Jake. We would invite you to join this conversation about the future of the Beaver Dam Fire Department. If you have a question or a comment, call us or text us at 920-887-9595 or call us at the studio at 885-4446. So now we are at the point where the consultant has made some recommendations. If the city is to build one fire station, it might either be where the middle school is now or where the old Monarch site is. And if you can picture that, it's kind of between the Market supermarket and the Shoe Factory apartment building. So those are two places that could serve the whole city from a central location. But if the city builds two, one would be at the old Department of Public Works site, and the other one would be on Industrial Drive.
Yeah, so those are the recommendations they came back with. Again, this is all based off of GIS information that they were able to collect. There's really two factors they look at when we're talking about site selection. One is travel time. And so if you can imagine, travel time is we select a site and just for the discussion, we'll talk about the middle school site. They select that site, and then they figure, based on transportation information, how much of the city they can reach, which within a 4-minute period. And that 4-minute period is based on national recommendations from an NFPA 1710, which is the standard for organization and deployment of fire suppression operations. So that's a national standard that we try to live by. The other number that we actually look at and that they study is based off of our actual call volume. So we've taken our roughly 9,000 last calls that we've had. We enter that information in there, and it tells us from a certain site what percentage of those calls we could respond to within that 4-minute period. And so with that, they were able to identify both of those sites. I've had a lot of questions about the middle school site and the Monarch site. Again, these are GIS sites that are selected with data. The interesting thing is when we talk about one fire station, you're talking about very limited options in the middle of the city, because if we are going to build one fire station, we want to make sure that it's centrally located and that we can provide a good response to the entire city. Having limited open areas, and when I say open areas, we're talking optimally 3+ acres. We don't have a whole lot of options. We have a couple that are smaller than that. One of the sites that we're talking about is smaller than that. And it makes it difficult to find suitable options for a single fire station. There's always the option of purchasing property and raising whatever's there and building something. That would have to be a discussion that council would have in the event that they would select the one station model. But we're definitely not at that point. But those are the two single sites that were selected. We're looking at other ones. There were some suggestions at council meeting that weren't foreign to me. I've heard these before. They were both actually very close to where we're sitting here at the radio station, the old pick and save site, and directly across the road here on North Spring. And so just so we're making sure that we're looking at everything, we're running data on those. But again, the city doesn't own either of those either. And so that would be totally dependent on purchasing sites and having somebody that would like to sell their site. And so that's all up in the air as far as that goes. As far as the two-station model goes, the DPW site on South Center, the city owns that, so that makes it very attractive. And the numbers look really good when we start talking about two fire stations. If we're talking about one fire station, travel time, our response time from the fire station currently to all of our calls, we're right around that 35, I think, to 38% mark, somewhere in there. If we go to two fire stations, we can double that. We can get in the mid to high 70s. So we can get a much faster response with that two-station model.
And that seemed to resonate with a lot of the alders at the meeting, that in a perfect world, they seem to want to fall on the side of two stations. If you can get to 75% of the city in 4 minutes or less.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, again, talking with our consultant, they actually see, you know, depending on what the community is, they see communities go from, you know, 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 and so on. If they can see a 10 or 15% increase, we're actually talking about doubling it, which is phenomenal. And so that would be something great in terms of our response for the community. So that's, to me, that's, you know, probably the most attractive part of going to two stations, is that we can really move our resources around and put them in the right place. So if our residents do have an emergency, we can respond in a timely manner. I mean, you can probably imagine the travel time it takes to get from the fire station on Lincoln Street all the way to, you know, Walmart or far north of there in the city. And so that's extended. That's way over that 4 minutes that we're really trying to do. So moving to two would definitely improve that.
certainly. And another consideration, I mean, we're, as you've mentioned before, you don't just put out fires. You also respond to medical emergencies. Mm-hmm. And it's important to get to people quickly in those cases too.
Yeah, and so just like NFPA 1710 that I talked about, the AHA actually puts out statistics. And so for every minute that you are in cardiac arrest, that you do not have somebody immediately doing CPR in an early defibrillation, your chance of survival goes down by 10%. So, I mean, do the math. If you're 10 minutes away, odds aren't good. And so we want to be there. We want to have those resources in the most appropriate places so we can get there and we can have the opportunity to make a difference and save a life.
So as I mentioned, in the perfect world scenario, there would be no question about two stations. However, the world not being a perfect place, the question, and I think the consultant is trying to answer that now, how much more would two stations cost than one, and is that a number that alders and referendum voters would support?
Yeah, so I'm not going to comment on the big R word yet. I don't think we're there yet. Okay. And there's, as far as funding goes, there's various options. So I don't want anyone to think just because we're talking about this that that's coming. Could it be? I guess. But we also have, you know, 7 or 8 different options in terms of funding. But yeah, that's the big question. And I share the same concern that everybody else does. I had a very good conversation with a couple of alders after the meeting. In a perfect world, yes, two fire stations is the way to go. But I wouldn't recommend making that change without actually seeing what the cost is. Like everybody else that lives in the city of Beaver Dam, I pay taxes. I don't want my taxes to go up unnecessarily. I don't want them to go up any more than they have to. But then again, as my job as fire chief, I need to make what I think is the best recommendation for the fire department and for the citizens of Beaver Dam in terms of emergency services. So I think that it's very important that we get cost estimates on both so our council members can take that information and make a good decision.
Certainly. And that's what the consultant is doing right now, and I believe it'll take them about 2 months.
Yeah, so they said it would probably be about 2 months before that would happen. So we're working with them. I just sent a couple emails out this morning, getting them some additional information. I'm hoping that the GIS portion will be completed relatively soon. And based on that, we'll select a couple of sites for basically design work. They're not final sites, but they do need a site in order to design and do a cost estimate. And so then we'll work with them to kind of hash that out on what we actually need in a fire station. Size-wise, I mean, size is obviously the big thing. And they will generate some conceptual designs along with cost estimates.
And kind of narrowing things down and getting more specific will help those cost estimates, because people who may be curious up to this point why numbers have not been discussed, because you can't really put a price tag on a general notion, but you can on more specific things, and that's what they're trying to find out right now.
Yep, we're just trying to narrow it down so we have an idea of you know, the general vicinity of where we're looking at location-wise, and then an appropriate site, and along with the plans that would go with that site.
Very good. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Nodge.
Send the kids back to school in style with everything you need from St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County. Whether you've got grade schoolers or college freshmen, St. Vincent de Paul has you covered at unbeatable prices. Find furniture deals throughout the store, perfect for snagging that comfy couch, kitchen essentials, and some fresh threads to start the semester right. Shop St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Shop smart, save big, and support a great cause at St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County.
God bless from your friends at St. Vincent de Paul.
Are you aware of who's making your healthcare decisions? Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster with Columbus Family Dental. Healthcare is a very personal thing that requires careful thought and planning. These choices should be made by you and your doctor, not an administrator or an insurance company. At Columbus Family Dental, we're a local, doctor-owned clinic, which allows us to put your health and well-being first. Call us today at 623-5559 to schedule a free, no-pressure consultation to see if we're the right fit for you.
This week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week is Wayland Academy's Ella Kicker. The senior competes on the Big Reds volleyball, powerlifting, and track teams. She says her favorite teacher at Wayland is Mrs. Ladron because she's much more than a teacher, she's also a mentor. After graduation, Ella plans to attend college, become a dentist or orthodontist. Congratulations to Wayland Academy's Ella Kickert. She's this week's White Construction High School Athlete of the Week.
Breathe easier with JB Mechanical's air quality solutions. Say goodbye to dust mites, pet dander, and pollutants in your home. JB Mechanical's team of experts will assess your home's needs and recommend the best solutions to ensure the air you breathe is healthy and safe. A properly designed, installed, and maintained HVAC system can improve your air quality. Poorly done? It can spread dust, allergens, and bacteria. Invest in your comfort today and give JB Mechanical a call. Online at jbmechllc.com. Your proud train dealer.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And welcome back to the last segment for today's Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. Still time for you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a comment, you can call us or text us at 920-887-9595 or call us at the studio at 885-4446. This is a conversation that has been years, even decades in the making, depending on where you put the starting point. And I guess there was some feeling and maybe some frustration after last week's meeting with the recommendations from the consultants that we aren't any further along than where we are right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
I think that it has been a discussion that's gone on for a long time, whether it be the current facility or building that north side facility. And because it's been discussed for so long, before we went down this road, we decided that we wanted to be very intentional about what we're doing. We want to be very open about what we're doing, and we wanted to involve council and the community with what we're doing. And I think that we're going down the right path. We're taking it slow because we don't want to rush. Obviously, we want to do what's right for the community, what's right for the department. And the other thing that I'm really focused on is I want to make sure with whatever product we end up with, that it's not just what's best for us right now, but it's what's best for Beaver Dam long term. I don't think there's a benefit of rushing through this just to do something, to say we did something. I think what we really need to do is we need to take our time. We need to evaluate all the options, and hopefully we're going to end up with a product that's going to serve the community, you know, for decades to come, where we don't have to revisit it and continue to talk about a north side fire station or a fire station or a facility over here. So I guess to any frustration or people that are saying that it's been talked about forever, totally understand. I think you're correct. It's been talked about for a long time. But just know that we're taking it slow. We're trying to be intentional about this, look at all the options, and come up with the best solution.
I don't know if there's an answer to this question, but how far out do you try to plan? Is it 30 years? Is it 50 years? Mm-hmm. Is it 100 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. As far as our facility that we're working on now, as far as design process anyway, we do what's called a 20-year needs assessment. So if the consultant comes back and says, well, we need X number of square feet, we might not need that today. But as the community grows and the department grows, whether we're talking about personnel or equipment, the building is built with that in mind. So there might be an extra space and a bay for a future apparatus that we have planned. There might be a few extra bunk rooms in case we need to hire more people down the road. So those things are easy. And we were just discussing this off the air. As far as the community growth, there are a lot of entities out there, including the city of Beaver Dam, who just finished their comp plan, that project populations and growth In my experience, you know, you look at one, you look at another, and you look at a third, they're all over the place. But what I can say is that we know as a department we're growing. We know the need for our services is growing. A lot of factors go into that, but over the last, I'm going to do some math here. Over the last 28 to 30 years, our call volume has almost tripled. In 1997, we were running a touch over 1,000 calls a year, and we're on pace for 32 to 3,200 this year. Even over the last 10 or so years, our 911 ambulance calls have increased by roughly, I think 30 to 40%, somewhere in there. And so the demand for our services are growing, whether or not the population of the community is growing.
And that's due quite a bit to, you know, folks who maybe don't have access to primary health care, who don't see the doctor until it's time to go to the emergency room.
Yeah, that's a lot of our the increase in our ambulance calls is due to people not not seeking primary care. Unfortunately, with health care today, there are a lot of people who just don't have the resources. Maybe it's financial. Maybe they don't have a family member or the ability to get to the doctor. And some people will simply call and use us for that. We encourage that you call a cab and go that route. But we are here to serve, and we're gonna continue to do that. Unfortunately, where we see far more calls are when people don't see their primary physician, or they let something that might be a minor condition compound into something more seriously, and then they end up having a medical emergency. And so that plays a large role in it. The aging population plays a large role in it, that our services are needed more, and it's just a number of compounding factors.
Another thing to take into account, and it was a question I think that was raised at the council meeting last week, is, you know, we have this large data center. Whether or not a lot of people will work there, it's going to be a huge building. And that, I'm guessing that figured into the projection of what the city will need in the future.
Yeah, so I mean, geographically, the Walmart distribution center is actually further north. And so it didn't really stretch us any further than we would have. But especially on fire protection side of things, we're going to have a significant investment and significant value added to the city of Beaver Dam. And that means that we have, as a fire department, we have more to protect. After doing the GIS studies, though, it was pretty interesting. Again, we did one study that was based on travel time, which, you know, with the data center and with the Walmart distribution center, you know, it pulled us a little further north. And when I say little, we're probably talking about a couple of blocks maybe. But then when we run the data with our call volume, our historical call volume, we don't get many calls out there. There's not a huge need for our service. And so that kind of pushed us back south a little bit. So it's just interesting to look at the growth and the data that goes along with it. Again, that doesn't mean that there won't be an event or an emergency at those locations. That doesn't mean that that there won't be more development in the future, which it could necessitate us being further north. I think a good example of that is there's some apartments being built behind Walmart right now. And so multifamily apartment buildings generally have a higher usage rate for as far as our services than single family homes. So those kind of things definitely spur more development and increase the need for our services.
So when the consultant comes back to the city council in 2 months, so what do you expect to happen at that point?
Yeah, so hopefully we have some preliminary sites selected. Again, it won't be anything final, but sites along with some conceptual designs. And when I say conceptual designs, we're not talking about fancy architecture or anything. We're talking about bubbles on a piece of paper that say, hey, this is what the facility could look like, and this is how large it will need to be. And then they'll have cost estimates. And so then we can take that and we can compare the cost, obviously, of one station to two stations. And then the other thing is they're going to provide us with two things. The cost estimate is one thing, but then there's what's called soft costs. That's not the actual building. That's site acquisition. That's legal fees. That is the design process. There's a lot that goes into that. And so we'll see the difference between the two. But we should have a decent idea of what each scenario is going to cost.
Very good. We want to thank Mike Wesley for joining us to explain the situation with the new fire station, one or two or where. That is a discussion that is still very much a long way from a resolution, but we're getting much closer. It was time well spent. Thanks for being with us today, Mike.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the opportunity.
We do have You've been listening to the line if we want to get to that real quick here.
Oh, very good. Time for one caller.
It was time well spent. Thanks for being with us.
Caller, you are on the air.
Yeah, I've got a question on the study.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air with Mike Wesley.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, I've got a question on the study.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Did the study include just serving the city of Beaver Dam? As I understand, the department serves several townships that border Beaver Dam. And I don't know how long a contract that is, but, you know, if you're going to make a capital investment, I would think you'd have a longer contract with those people. And then down the road, certainly it's going to be the question of how you split that cost of a capital expenditures.
Yeah, so great question. The first thing I'll answer, super easy. Yes, we do serve more than the city of Beaver Dam. We serve the city of Beaver Dam, the town of Beaver Dam, and then portions of four surrounding townships. We have a contract with them that is a five-year contract that we actually just renegotiated. I think we're 20, it's either 28 or 29. I'd have to pull that out to look is the next time that we're going to renegotiate that. So we do provide rural services to all those communities. The building that we are currently in and the building that we are talking about or buildings would be city-owned. The Rural Association, who we provide services to, they do contribute maintenance costs. They help pay for some insurance costs, some heat, that type of thing. But they don't actually own the building. So as we're going through this process, it was the desire of council to use data from the city to determine the locations of those, it will be city dollars to build those facilities. The townships also contribute a significant portion of our operational budget each year, and so that plays a big role in us offering the services and being able to provide those services to the community.
But shouldn't the city of Beaver Dam taxpayer have the option just to put up a building for the city of Beaver Dam instead of serving the Rural Fire Association?
So the way that it's being discussed now is it would be a building for the city of Beaver Dam, irregardless of whether we are going to, I guess, offer those services to the townships or not. Doesn't really play a role in the condition of our building or the need for new building and or buildings. Again, the data that is being used to determine location and where the fire station should be is all based off of city data, not actual rural data.
But that would certainly change the number of personnel if you didn't serve the townships.
So if we didn't serve the townships, we'd have to go through and look, but it really doesn't reduce our costs a ton. I can tell you that by providing the services to the township, I believe they get a far superior service than what they could afford on their own, but that's reciprocal too. The residents of the city of Beaver Dam are able to afford more in terms of fire and emergency medical services because we work with the townships. They not only do they contribute a significant portion of our budget, and I'd have to look it up. I want to say it's $500,000 to $600,000 this year. But the calls that we get generate revenue from ambulance billing that also help offset a lot of our costs.
Very good. Thank you much. Excellent, excellent question. And we are out of time. So thank you for joining us on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
From the Slimmerland Furniture Studio, this is 95.3 WBEV Beaver Dam, a Good Karma Brands radio station.